Arjuna Uvacha. Now, what happened? Arjuna finally found his voice. You know, he had been silent for so long because the Lord was speaking. So then he now has come out of his coma-like stupor, which first he saw this and he described the beauty of the Lord and the wonder, and then he suddenly saw the fear, and then his mind was bewildered. So he became quiet, but now he started speaking again. Verse number 51, Arjuna Uvacha. Drishtvedam manusham rupam. Tava somyam janardana. Idanim asmi samrittaha. Sachetah prakritim gataha. Actually, in Sanskrit, when you're chanting, when there is a visarga, sachetah, and then there is a pa, you always say an F. Sachetah prakritim, like a soft F, not fa loudly, but sachetah prakritim gataha. That's just for correct. I mean, the Gita chanting kids know it. Amrita knows it because we always emphasize that. But I had learned that from Swamiji and Swami Ishwaranandaji, so I'm just sharing it. But the Gita chanting kids, they all know it. It's imprinted in their brain. The moment they see visarga and pa, they say F right away. Anyway, so Arjuna Uvacha. Arjuna, this is actually, you know, why the meter changes. You know, sometimes there is this long meter and the shorter meter. So they say the important, when he wants to make an important point, Krishna or Vyasa, he wants to make, he changes the meter. He gives this long meter. Drishtvedam manusam rupam. So like that, the longer. And then now he says, drishtved, you know, like that. And then he says, other one, you know, he says, ityarjunam vasudevastathoktva. So there is a longer meter and then there is a shorter meter. So what happens is, why does he change the meter? When he wants to emphasize, like when I want to say something, you know, which I want to emphasize, I'll say, listen carefully, or sometimes I bring a flip chart, because so you may not, so that if I want to emphasize, you can see the flip chart. But in those days, when the rishis were sitting in the cave and the students were there, they didn't have any flip charts, they didn't have any PowerPoint, they couldn't say, okay, you know, blue line this and red line this. And also, you know, they were constantly teaching, and the students had a tendency to fall asleep, you know, when you're listening, like some of you may be in that state right now. But the tendency is, so the teacher, A, to keep the student awake, and also to emphasize that certain points are more important, used to change the meter. So the longer meter that we were, which shows the form of Krishna and this giant form. Now we have come back to the original meter of the Bhagavad Gita. So he says, Drishtva idam manusham rupam. Arjuna says, Drishtva, having seen idam manusham rupam, this human form. Now we have seen Krishna back in the human form, as opposed to that cosmic form. Here you can see this, the one very brief, very artistic description, but of course it was much bigger. So having seen this, Manusham rupam tava samyam, your very peaceful form. I am very pleasing. See, Krishna, they say he was very beautiful. If you saw him, people used to instantly fall in love with him. That's why the gopis of Vrindavan, they were just mad. They wanted to see him at all times and they wanted to hold him even as a baby. He was so lovable, even though he was very mischievous and always getting into trouble. And his poor mother always had problems with him. But all the other women of Vrindavan and his mother also loved him so much because he was an embodiment of love. Because when God appears before you, how will he be? He will be very loving, very sweet, and very pleasant, and very kind. So he says, having seen this beautiful, lovely form of yours, Janardana. Janardana is a very beautiful name of Lord Krishna. And I was trying to read in the Sanskrit dictionary and find there are actually multiple meanings of Janardana. Jana means people. Ardana. Ardana, different people interpret it as different things. One, it says Ardana, somebody interprets as one who intoxicates. So So just as when you have had an intoxicating drink, how your mind is happy and you don't have care about the world and you don't care. And also similarly, when you have the Lord in your mind, your mind becomes very happy. You almost become intoxicated with love, like Mirabai was. And she used to be dancing with Krishna's songs and his songs in the temple. She didn't care whether I'm a queen. Her jewelry was all over the place. She didn't stop wearing jewelry. Her clothes would be everywhere. And you know, all common people are watching. And she's a queen. And she's dancing like a commoner in the streets and singing. She didn't care. She was intoxicated in that, you know, in that beauty of Krishna's name. Mere to giridhar gopal. Dusra na koi. Jaake sir mor mukut. Mero pati soi. So that's what the intoxication is. You look at all of these. You look at Tukaram, how he used to get intoxicated. And when he was singing Vithala, Vithala, there are so many stories which I have told. Actually, Tukaram is another movie you must watch. It's so beautiful. It has English subtitles. And how this ordinary person, how much full of love he was. He used to even forget his work. He used to just sit there and just be singing Vithala songs, and then the Lord had to do his work for him. He would just forget about it. Look, if you look at the Narsi Mehta's life, his daughter was going to get married, and his wife said, you know, you don't have any money, and who is going to pay for the wedding, and the barat, the bridegroom's party is coming. He said, I don't have time to think. He was, because he was all the time thinking about the Lord, and then the Lord had to come and give money to pay for the wedding, because the Lord then takes care of these people. And so that's what he says, this beautiful form of yours, Janardana, this intoxicating form. Another meaning of Janardana is that wealth. For whom people are the wealth. For the Lord, people are his wealth. He loves, just as we love wealth, the Lord loves us because we are his wealth, we are his possessions. So there are many beautiful meanings. Ardana also means one who removes the sorrows of the people. So anyway, Janardana, so he says, Krishna, you are the one who is most beautiful. You remove our sorrows. Idanim means now. Now I was going through all that stress, but now, asmi, now I am samvrita, I am calm, I am happy. Sachetah prakritim gatah. Chetah means mind. Sachetah means sa, means with. So with my mind, prakritim gataha, my mind has come back to its original calm and peaceful state. So that is what they're saying, that when you chant the name of the Lord, when you remember him with love, no matter what kind of sorrow, what kind of problems you have, they say just sit down in one corner, close your eyes, observe, watch your breath. And what I try to do is as the breath goes in and out, comes in and then goes out, and you can just chant Om, or you can chant Om Namah Shivaya as the breath goes out, and again it comes in and again it goes out, and just chant the name of the Lord and visualize his form and think about his beauty, and immediately Sachetah Prakritim Gataha, your mind will become so happy and so peaceful. So that is what happened to Arjuna when he saw that. See, now this is the state of Arjuna, where he had seen that cosmic form, and then he came back to his Arjuna state, but he had not really realized the truth. See, the Lord with his grace had shown him out of love, but he was not yet a realized master. He was not like Swami Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya or, you know, Tapovan Maharaj or all these great yogis who through meditation, Sant Gyaneshwar and all, who through their meditation had experienced that one truth, that their oneness with that reality. And then it is said that, of course I have not experienced it, but it is said that those who experience it, the bliss they go through, that joy they go through is immeasurable, even a million, billion of the little joys we have in this world. In fact, one time I had mentioned that no matter what you can think of, even, you know, whatever joy you can think of, like they say that there is a man or a woman who is young, very beautiful, healthy, has all the money of the world, all the joys of the world, anything you can think of, how much joy she would have. She's young, she's beautiful, she has all the money, she has all the clothes, all the jewelry. all the joys of whatever food she wants, she can buy whatever clothes. And she has no ill health. Her health is perfect. So how happy she would be? 1,000 times than that is the happiness in the angels. Then 1,000 times and then that is the happiness in Brahma Loka. Then 1,000 times, then 1,000,000 times. And go, and then in heaven is the 1,000 times more than that. And 1,000,000,000 times more than that is one moment of Brahma Sukh. So that the sukh of joy of being with Brahman is 1,000,000,000,000,000 times more than even the joy of being in heaven. Forget about the joys that you have on this earth. So a saint who has experienced that Brahma Sukha, he says, then how would he come back into the world and function? Because he's in such bliss. And then he doesn't want to come out of that. And that's what some of the people actually, when they go into deep meditation, they just disappear. They don't even come back to the world. They just stay in meditation and drop their body. But then there are some compassionate people, you know, like our Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, is a typical example. He actually was with his teacher, Tapovan Maharaj, and he had studied everything from him. He had meditated. He had experienced the highest truth. And he had become one with Brahman. And Tapovan Maharaj says, just stay here. You know, you are so happy and you can stay here. And whoever wants to learn will come and learn from you. You are now a realized master. So Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda very humbly says, he says, Guruji, you are right. But I see the people of India. This is in 1949 or 1950, around then. And there were no books about, you know, Bhagavad Gita. There was no commentaries. There nobody knew even the word Upanishads. Little bit they had heard Vivekananda, but everybody had forgotten. And now, of course, people are a lot more knowledgeable. We have internet, we have books, and we have commentaries, and we have so many Mahatmas. In those days, there were very few and far between. There was no TV. Even radio was just coming. And so people were living in ignorance of this great truth, of this great wealth. And he said, my people in India are suffering and they are miserable. And when this wealth of knowledge is there in the Gita and the Upanishads, why are they suffering? I want to go and relieve their suffering. So he comes down from his zone of bliss into this world. And in this world is full of sorrow and fights and problems and ignorance. And even he was opposed and he was criticized and he had to go through. Look at Jesus, you know, he could have stayed in that blissful state, but he came to the world to preach, and how did he get crucified? Look at Buddha, how he was. In fact, in Buddha's life, there is a very beautiful incident. It is said that when Buddha was, this is a very interesting story, I have a little bit of time, I'll tell it. It is said when Buddha was in deep meditation, in his mind arose a tempter, somebody who was tempting. They gave it a name, Mara. Some people say it was male, some people say it was female. But it was in his own mind there was a voice which he gave the name Mara, who used to try to take him from the right on the path to the wrong side. So like when he was in deep meditation, the voice would say, why are you suffering so much? You haven't eaten. Let's go have some in pizza, or let's go have some, you know, let's go have some fun, maybe go get a drink, and you might meet a beautiful girl. And then when he was, you know, so constantly this voice, which was his own mind, was trying to tempt him. Isme kya rakha hai, you know, what are you wasting your time? You know, you're such a handsome person, you're so brilliant, you're so intelligent, you can make your life very successful. So he kept resisting that. No, I have to know who I am. I have to reach nirvana. I have to go beyond suffering. And finally, he realized the truth. And he became that Buddha, the enlightened one. And then this Mara still didn't give up. His mind was still so powerful. It's very interesting. The voice comes from the mind. He says, okay, you have realized the truth. Wonderful. Now just stay here under the Bodhi tree. Don't go anywhere. Why do you need to go? The people in the world won't appreciate you. They won't even listen to you. They will throw stones at you. And what is the use? You know, this world is full of sorrow and ignorance and anger and jealousy and war and all that. And why are you going there? Just stay here and enjoy your life. Be happy, you know, be in bliss. So Buddha says, no. Even if one person listens to me, even if one person I can change with my knowledge, it's worth it. I do not want to stay in this blissful state. I want to go out into the world and I want to serve, I want to help. And that was the message our Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda also gave us. That from 1951 when he started preaching till 1993, 42 years when he left his body, constantly he was traveling. He never stayed. Every day he was giving 2-3 talks and he was traveling from city to city, from country to country. He would reach a country and the next morning he would talk. And similarly, our Guruji, Swami Tejomayananda, who is the head of the mission now, same thing he does. He travels one day, he goes to from one country to another, and then the same day he gives talks. He has no jet lag. I have seen him myself. I think I had told you this story one time. I picked him up from Los Angeles airport, and we were going to go to Riverside, to Palm Springs, to where he had to do a retreat. He had to start Upanishad talks. And his plane was late. Instead of coming at 10 or 11, came like 2 or 3. So he has just flown from India. He is, you know, exhausted, tired. His plane is late. He was stuck in some airport. And then we drive him. It takes 2.5 hours, and he reaches Palm Springs at 5:30. And at 6 o'clock, he's supposed to talk, right? Then he's gone through jet lag. He's gone through a flight. His plane is late. Then he has this 3-hour drive. And I asked him, you know, Guruji, you must be tired. He says, yeah, a little bit. So he goes to the room, he takes a shower, and at 6 o'clock, he gives a beautiful discourse, perfect, about the whole essence of the Upanishad. And I am amazed. You know, he says, you and me, it takes us 3 days to recover from jet lag. People come back from India 1 week. I am still in jet lag. I don't do anything. And he, within 30 minutes, he gives a beautiful talk. So that is the glory of these masters, that even though they have experienced that highest truth, and it's not that they are doing it for their own praise or for their own, you know, glorification, they're doing it out of compassion for us. And that's why we have to always have a great debt of gratitude to these Mahatmas and to the teachers and to this mission, I feel, because it is through Chinmaya mission that whatever little I know, it is because of Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda and the other teachers who started this mission in 1951, and we are continuing this work. So that is what I'm saying, that they could have stayed in their state of Brahman, but they came down to the human life to again mix with us, out of compassion, out of love for us. And so that is the beauty of studying the Bhagavad Gita and appreciating that. At least I feel that if we had not met Gurudev and all his teachers, I don't know where we would have been, you know, still wandering in some ignorant forest. So I'm always very grateful to Guru. And that's why one should also mentally not only thank the Lord, but thank the Guru every day and for what he has given us, or she, you know. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Dukkhabhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.